I have a question about Tiger. You saw that he gave up sex before the tournament. What are your thoughts on
that? Said that?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's an official thing. He came out and said.
Did he? I don't know if it was official.
No, no. It's an official thing. Report. Like Tiger. Tiger has given up sex.
That's what's going to drive him.
The match. Hey, like,
for you,
the
Tiger.
Finally.
About time.
Yeah. No. Literally. Hey, listen. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Like this guy.
I've tried it. It doesn't really do much.
Welcome to another episode of Tranquilo Sports Talk. I feel weird doing the intro, but I'm doing the intro this week. If you can tell by my shirt, it's Masters Week, Victor Hovland edition. And if you notice the background, we're recording at a new location, which is the Tank Brewery, where we're hosting our first event this Saturday. Here at the Tank, 12 noon for a Masters watch party. Pretty awesome electric weekend, and got a lot of guys here to talk about it. Obviously, you know this guy. We're here with Lael, the Connected Golfer, and Javi from First Step Podcast. So we're excited to get in, talk all things Masters. Before we do so, I'm going to let these guys introduce themselves, tell them a little about yourselves to, you know, the listener.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. My name's Leo Herrera. I've been playing golf my entire life since I was 3 years old. You know, I started competing when I was 7. He knew me back in the day when I was like 4, he's telling me. And, you know, just kept playing and was top 20 junior golfer in the country. Went to UCF, played Division I golf there for a year, like during COVID year. And, it was a transition in my life. I made a decision to, you know, go for what I felt was something bigger than just staying in college and going down the ordinary route. So I decided to drop out and, you know, pursue professional golf. And I quickly realized that, you know, it's a lot harder, you know, than it seems. Again, you need obviously a lot of funding and, you know, you got to grind. Your game's got to be, you know, top shape. And so I decided to start building the Connected Golfer as a brand so I can, you know, create revenue opportunities for me to, you know, play professional golf.
Awesome.
And here I am 2 years after. We've, you know, been able to build up a cool brand with it and, you know, now staying connected with the people.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Thanks.
David already introduced me, Javi Portal. I have a new podcast called First Step Bets, and we're basically just it's kind of an intro to sports betting for the average guy that wants to get into sports betting, maybe doesn't know, gets into these podcasts where everyone's talking statistics, and sometimes they just want to hear, like, you know, the takes of the average guy and, you know, what's the rest of the public doing? So that's just a lot of what we get into, and I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying the podcast game. I'm new to it, but I'm enjoying it.
Welcome to the space.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Happy to be here. First time guest.
Real,
time
hell, yeah. Overdue. Both of them.
Yeah. Huge golf junkie.
Yeah.
Played all my life. Played since I was a little kid competitively through college. And then now I'm addicted to the game. And, you know, this is my favorite week of the year. It's Masters Week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to get after it.
I'm pumped.
It
truly is. It does, nothing else compares to it. Like, in terms of, like, obviously, like, I mean, we watch, literally, me and Andre watch every single week, watch every single tournament. And it's just the Masters, it just has a different vibe to it. And it's just electric. Like, every day is like, I mean, me and Avi were actually even talking about it earlier. Like, we're watching press conferences on Monday, like watching people just practicing on the green. Like, I don't know. It's just the vibe around the Masters is different. And it's honestly some of the most electric, one of the most electric events, like, all year. So, yeah.
It's almost bigger this year. For me, and I don't know, maybe this has something to do with, like, where we are at pro golf. It's, you know, this year it was kind of been, you have the two tours. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I feel like we have, like, all the best players in the world finally going against each other.
Yeah.
And, like, let's be honest, like, with everything going on in golf, it's been fun. You see these a lot of these long shot winners we've been having. It's been fun to see if you're about like, if you're golf junkies like us.
Then. Yeah.
Cinderella stories are only fun until, they're not anymore. We want to see the stars.
We want to see
the big names go against each other. And I feel like we're finally getting it now. We're just like, I'm fired up to the Masters. I want to see these guys go at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's one of those things like you were used to seeing them play together all the time. And now we don't get to see that as much. So I think that amplifies it a lot. We haven't seen Brooks really. We haven't seen Bryson. We haven't seen Cam Smith, DJ, all these guys. Rom now, who also is on at LIV. And they're all going to be at Augusta playing with some awesome guys on the tour side, right? And we don't really know. I think also is like, you don't really know what to expect.
A LIV player is going to win.
That's what I think, by the way.
Everyone's saying that. I really feel like, and we're getting into the picks. I really feel like Bryson DeChambeau has got it this year.
I like a lot of guys.
There's a lot of guys
that are high on Bryson. I've got high on Bryson too.
Baked on Bryson.
I'm with you. Like everyone's talking about like it's Scotty's to lose. Like I'm gonna say it again. I said this before the players. I had to eat crow. I'm gonna say it again right now. There is 0% chance that Scotty wins the Masters. Book it right now. I said that right before the players, and he won it again. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous, but there's absolutely no way. Scotty's about to have the birth of his first son. It's like, it honestly might happen this weekend. If he does, he's withdrawing. He's got too many things in his head. He's not winning. I think a LIV guy's going to win it. Or Victor Hovland, the GOAT. So,
I love Victor Hovland.
Dude, that's my guy.
I hit balls with him for like 30 minutes at the Flurry like 2 weeks ago.
That's literally like, that's my dream.
I know. It was my dream before.
I want to live vicariously through you now. Like, that's amazing. Did you get a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, of course.
Were they going to say that you touch him?
Hey, Vic. He's a great guy. He's super humble. He's kind of shy,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
He strikes the ball.
I was looking
at him swing and getting better just by looking at him.
Yeah.
That's like, that's how you do it.
I actually want to ask you guys this because obviously, like you both played golf all your whole life. He's kind of going through something this year that he's kind of been a bit off this year after coming off to his best year, and he's talked a lot about obviously the different coaches and like changing little techniques. How long does that have an effect? I know for him, when he talks about it, he's like, it usually happens fast for him, but this was happening a bit slower. Like in your experience, like if you've ever had to like practice or change something in your game, like how much of an effect does that have? And in the end, like, do you ever revert back or do you just keep pushing until it works?
Yeah, I was actually asking him that because I was aware of the situation. And he said, like, he's just finding like minor tweaks in his swing. He's big on like, if you're not confident with that part of your game, it's because you're not confident. Like your technique, your mechanics are just not there. And he's like aware of that. And like, he's been trying to like address his mechanics a little bit more and fine tune it. Be surprised even like a player like him
coming off the year that he had last year too.
It's just like it gets, and that's where it kind of goes to another level. And you realize it with all these like the greatest in the world, like it's that mindset of like greatness.
Yes, always trying to
get MJ, the Kobe's, Tiger Woods.
Like, Tiger changed his swing five times during his dominant era.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, it does take time depending on what part of the journey you're in, but you need to take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what he's doing. And I feel like he's sacrificing this year for like maintenance, let's say, and he's going to come back and strike it very soon.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one tournament for them to just figure it out. And all of a sudden, all those things that they have been working on are displayed in that tournament, and they ride that into a hot streak. I mean, it's a long season. Obviously, you want, like, this is the event where
it's the one that I want.
Ramping up, and you've almost used the first few months of the year as a not a trial period, but to kind of figure things out and being getting that competitive mindset that we were kind of talking about, getting your head right, because that's the other aspect. You can go all off season and go hit balls at the range, play with your boys, do whatever they do to get their swings in, but come tournament time, it's different.
Yeah,
there's an added pressure and kind of just different process that goes into the game at that point,
especially for the green jacket.
I listened to one of the press conferences I listened to today, and I was just looking for any kind of Masters conference. Victor Hovland.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to 30 minutes of a press conference with just Victor Hovland answering questions.
Yeah.
And he talked a lot about, like, you know, the kind of his changes. And I didn't know he's got eight swing coaches since he turned pro.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It's a lot. But he was actually just kind of talking about, you know, a little bit of what he was saying was just kind of like last year, he was playing the.
Forget it's a background music.
Boo!
That's what happens when you film at a brewery.
Yeah, right.
And he was playing the best golf of his life, right? But he was saying, he's like, I was doing that, but it didn't feel sustainable. He's like, I was hitting it great. He's like, but it didn't feel like it was sustainable long term.
Right.
And that's kind of what you were saying, how these guys at that level, they're just always looking for. So whatever they can do to the longevity, they are where they are because they fell in love with the process,
right?
And that doesn't stop just because he's having the best year. He's going to try and maintain that and get even better,
right? Yeah. And to go back to like the swing coach thing, right? You said you changed it 8 times. Why do you go through that process of changing the swing coach so frequently?
I haven't thought on that. So I think, like,
you see the guys change their caddies, they change their swing coaches, and I'm sure there's a different reason for everyone, but it is a pretty common thing that happens a lot. And 8 times, like, to your point, is a lot of times in a young career.
But like, as a professional golfer, like, as a person that's like, you know, understands himself as a golfer, has like the skills, like, on this, you know, really understands that part, you get to a point where you, like, you know enough about the game where you can teach yourself the game. You just need people to observe it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, say not what you want to hear, but, you know, tell you the truth and like see what they have to say. And you could take it with a grain of salt. You take it with the knowledge that you have. A guy like him has a lot of golf knowledge.
Right.
Has enough golf knowledge to be on his own for the rest of his career.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not like all for switching instructors all the time, but I'm not against it. Just like take the information from different people and understand how to digest it to be able to like improve your game, because they can't get in your bodies and swing.
No, of course. It's a lot of it's a feel thing too. You know what you're feeling. They're never going to know what you're feeling. They might see something in your swing, but it might feel a little bit different to you. So at that point, I get what's your thoughts on
it? My thought is, I think it just kind of comes down to each player, you know, especially once you get to a certain level. Some guys don't like to try and change much. They're very like, this is what works. This is what I have to do. And I'm just going to keep trying different versions of this. Whereas other people, I was a little bit like this. I was always kind of just searching.
Yeah.
You know, even when I was playing my best golf, it was just sometimes you're just searching for like a thought, a feeling. Like you're always looking, and then that'll work for sometimes it works for a year.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works for a round, a few rounds, a month. It just depends. And then like when that stops working, okay, like, you know, and I'm talking like it could be something as small as just like I'm only thinking about tempo right now. And that's what of everything my coach taught me, the one thing that works is thinking about tempo. Bro, thinking about just taking it, not feeling, taking it steep or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think Victor, from what I got from his, he actually talked about his press conference today. What he was saying was like, yeah, I'm just always looking for different fields. And I kind of take everything these coaches say with a grain of salt. I just pick and choose. So I think he's just a little bit kind of like that. You know, some guys don't like the way that I'm changing.
Yeah. I mean, look at Scotty. Scotty's got the whole thing now with his the foot, and everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
And then he's seeing more guys, but more guys are trying to incorporate that into the swing. I mean, for the lifetime of golf, that was like the most unorthodox thing that
you guys tried.
Foot rotates, and that was it.
I do it by accident sometimes.
Just like
when I shank it.
I've never tried it.
I tried it.
Like, I can't try it.
Just messing around.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
You feel like you're going to bust your ACL. Like, well, I have no idea. Like,
I feel like when I slip, it looks like I'm doing it. That comes behind the swing when it does that, but you can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, I lead off the podcast and somehow we end up in a big Victor Hovland conversation, right? So, all right. So, but with the Scotty thing, like, I actually, like, every time I see it, it just makes less sense each time.
Yeah.
And it's like no one, like you, I actually don't even think you can replicate. It's something that you can't, like it's only something that he's just natural, like he does it natural. Like everyone has like a little different thing, like completely different example. When you look at Rom, like Rom's got his like little half swing, but like it works for him. Like not everyone could do that. So I think for Scotty's case, like whatever he's doing is working, but like I don't even think that's like a replicable
swing,
thing.
Swing
to be
your
honest.
Swing.
Yeah, swing your swing. Yeah. So
swing.
Yeah.
I we don't have to go on a tangent on this, but I was like just genuinely curious about this. So this past week was live at Trump, right, here in Miami. And I think it was Saturday morning. Guys were set to tee off at 12:30, right? And it was like the first tee time of the day, right?
Yeah.
Why the hell was there no one at the driving range like at 11:30 in the morning? Because I was there at my girlfriend's family lives right across there. So I'm looking at the driving range from there. It was 11:30 in the morning and there was not a single soul at the driving range.
Well, it's to their defense, it started at 1:15.
Okay.
But also it's live golf. So
yeah, okay. Okay.
They're up late at the Akon concert the night before.
Yeah. Oh, so yo, what? I've gone to a couple of PGA tour events. They do not look like that.
It's
2 hours before tee off time.
Well, it's also because of the shotgun start.
Yeah. So, like, yeah,
they all start at the same time. Start at the same time more.
Yeah.
Live versus PGA is stacked.
Everyone just feels like they're eating or something. Like
gathering
before and all that.
Yeah, yeah. They're having brunch. Yeah, I want to get your thought because like I went to the live event this weekend. I went on Sunday. I went to the one a couple years ago too. And it's so funny because like you go, obviously we've been to PGA events and like they're so different in terms of like obviously people are cheering and stuff, but it's, you know, the vibe is very more like quiet and all that. And you go to live, like everything's blasting, music is crazy. Like when you go, like, do you think that has any effect? Like, obviously, these guys like it. Like, they're playing live tour. But, like, when then they go to Augusta this week, which is a complete 360 from what they just went through. Like, I don't know. Like, when you guys play, like, I mean, I know you like people listen to music and stuff. But, like, do you think that would have any effect on you? Like,
that's a great question. I mean, it is going to be completely different.
It's a completely different
time. Talking about Augusta.
The most traditional place to the least probably traditional.
I think they're going to embrace it even more. Like those guys are probably missing that.
Yeah.
Like they want to feel that again. So, I mean, I would think they'd play even like more inspired, you know, to be, you know.
Those guys do have a chip on their shoulder too.
Yeah.
Listen, they got paid, so they're fine when it comes to that. But on the other side of the whole thing, when it comes to the politics and just the overall temperature towards live golf right now, so the common golf eye, right? I mean, obviously there's people that have embraced it and they're 100% okay with it and they think it's good for the game, right? But you have the other side of things that they're getting hate 24/7, like how could you leave? How could you do this? Like you have no respect for the game. Those guys hear all that noise and they have that as a chip on their shoulder saying like, you guys aren't even playing against the most competitive field, so your wins don't count, right? They're going to go out there and prove that like, we're still some of the top guy.
Well, when Brooks won it last year, like
exactly, yeah, that was
yeah.
That same temperature doesn't go away.
I felt that last year. Like, if you look at all the live guys, and they all ended up playing pretty well.
Sergio played well.
Brooks finished second.
Phil was second too.
Phil got hot
on Sunday. Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of that. I think all these guys, you know, I mean, yeah, they took the money, but at the end of the day, that these guys are, you know. These are the best, most competitive golfers in the world.
For sure.
Like that competitiveness, that's in your DNA.
That
just doesn't go away just because you got paid.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get into the heat of things, you still want to win.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's just a plus of the guys. Like,
yeah.
We're talking about the Masters.
Yeah.
Everybody is fired up for that.
Yeah.
You don't need a reason to get fired up. Like, you're just showing up there and you're going to be locked in. Like, you're going to do everything you can to be locked in.
It's
too big of a moment.
I've got a question. What do you guys think? Like, at least maybe it's to each of you guys. I kind of have my idea, but like, what makes Augusta or the Masters more special than like a, you know, obviously the other majors or even like courses like, you know, a Pebble or the old course? Like, what do you think in your mind like makes Augusta like separate than the rest? Whoever wants
to
go first.
It's the tradition.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching the same things now for 35 years. Like I've just always watched the Masters. And it's the same golf course. It's the same prestige. It's the tradition, the Masters dinner, the history, like everything. Just, you know, it's the entire experience of the Masters. Like, to me,
it's
one giant tradition.
Yeah.
And like, you know, at the end of the day, us as humans, we love that. We love tradition. We love heritage. We love, you know, lineage, things like that. And like, you know, we find, we're drawn to that.
Yeah.
I think that's just part of the magic of an Augusta.
Yeah. To me, it's the elegance, the quality of the event. Like, there's no event that matches the elegance of the Masters.
Yeah.
And, like, we follow the tradition with, you know, even PGA Tour events that happen, you know, over and over. I was going to say that, but I was like, you know, the reality is that, like, you know, this event is a lot more, you know, glamorous than the rest.
It is.
It really blows your mind.
The court's beautiful.
It's the pinnacle. It's the standard.
Like heaven of golf.
You play golf and you die, like, that's your
eye. Yeah. It's literally like a heaven for golf.
Yeah.
There's not a golfer on the planet that their dream isn't to go play last night. Like, well, not a single one.
I think that plays a part into, like, why it's so, like, highlighted, because it's so exclusive. Like, you know, if we wanted to, we can go play Pebble. We can go play the Open. Like, we'll pay a lot of money for it, but we can play it. You can't just go play Augusta. Like, there's also that part of it is, like, the elegant tradition. But it's also, like, I can't even go there. Like, you have to, like, win a lottery to, like, even get a ticket. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So I think also that adds to it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've hit the main points that I was going to make. I think elegance is a huge thing. I think the consistency that every year, you know, it's at Augusta. I mean, you just look at the course and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. We're going to be there next year.
You could paint a painting about, you know, about that. And it would be one of the most beautiful paintings in your home, probably.
It's like the shirt.
I don't know about that.
It's like the shirt.
It's as beautiful as the shirt. Relax with the shirt.
But I will say this. One of the most iconic things about the tournament is that the concession prices there are electric.
Yeah.
You're going to buy a $2, $3 item.
Yeah.
That to me is so cool, because they're like, we understand the kind of the caliber of this event, but while you're here, we're going to take care of you and we're going to appreciate you as a fan and we're going to allow you to have the best possible experience.
Yeah. I mean, people talk about it all the time, just the fan experience at Augusta. They go, I haven't been yet. I know we all want to go.
Yeah.
Have you been?
No.
Not yet. Yeah, so we're all in the same boat. We all are going to eventually go one day.
Yeah.
And we hear it all the time. Everybody that goes, the fan experience, how everyone's so courteous. The whole thing with you can put your seat down and you can walk away. And somebody will sit in it all day. But when you come back, hey, this is my seat. Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me use your seat. It's like a thing. Like, you know, even our own personal etiquette improves when we go to Augusta. We're more elegant as human beings when we go there.
Yeah, like,
I don't know what it is.
But it's been a cool
100%. And you can only buy their merch there too. My boy went to the Masters last year, got me this hat. But like, you can literally only get stuff there. Like, that's awesome. Like the second I go, like, that's that merch store being ransacked. Like, I'm buying every single thing on the shelf.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's
a beautiful tradition.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
I don't want to go there until I can
play there.
Yeah?
That's
an awesome move.
Yeah. I don't want to go there until I get invited to play.
While you mentioned that, like, tell us a little bit about, like, what you're doing now, like, how you're getting to, like, you know, what you're working on and what, you know, I guess, like, your goal obviously to get there, but like, what you're currently working on now or working with.
Yeah. I'm working on my game. A lot. That is my main focus and priority right now. Like, with all the connected golfer stuff and my contest, like the short form content, I've been able to like automate pretty well. And I'm getting ready to launch a membership. The connected golfer membership basically has 6 different library of courses that, you know, it goes through my entire approach to the game of golf from A to Z, like my entire practice session. Like, I literally walk you through an entire practice session that I use, the swing, like how I've simplified my swing and the steps that I use. And then it goes into the lifestyle as well, like health, career, relationships, making sure that's a priority in your life and you're dialing in, and, you know, also provide routines, the connected routines where people can go in and like, basically, you got training routines, you know, mobility routines, even meditation. I provide a meditation in there because I'm big in mental health, and you are too. And so we're getting ready to launch that like pretty soon. And I've been working on it like for a lot now, the last, you know, we'll say month or two. And yeah, I'm excited for that because that's really going to help me be a little bit more transparent with my audience and give it more than just a golf tip. It's more just like you're being part of a community to be a connected golfer. My thing is, I'm the connected golfer, but It's Leo Herrera on the journey of choosing to be the connected golfer every day. And you have the same choice every single day. To be a connected golfer, you just got to stay connected to the best version of yourself, you know, day in and day out, on and off the course. And that's what the connected mentality is all about. And that's what I really want to, like, how I want to impact the world and, like, leave a legacy behind as I also continue to work on my game.
I'm sure a lot of it is being able to apply what you're trying to teach, right? And almost applying it to yourself, because you get to test and learn on yourself too. It's like, this worked, this didn't work. If I tried it this way versus this way, I saw the difference in that aspect of whatever I was trying to incorporate.
It's the best way to learn. Like when I organize, like I wrote an ebook on how I call it a connected golfer manual. It's how I'm going to approach golf for the rest of my life. It's like, you know, this is my manual. It's like my war manual. It's for me, it's like to help me dial in on like what it is I need to be aligned with. And as a return, that helps everyone, you know, involved, everyone that wants to be part of it. So, you know, I love what you guys are doing with the events and all that, with the podcast, getting people together. Like, and to me, that's what it's all about. Like truly connecting with the people and, you know, leaving a mark upon every EC.
What's been your, I guess, favorite moment since you started the Connected Exhaust Group?
Oh, dude, holding out. I hold out twice in a row on a video.
I remember that video, actually.
Bro.
That was actually insane.
I hold out twice in a row. But honestly, like, to me, the
I love how quick you were with that.
It was the
connecting people. Yeah. Moment when I hold out.
When I hold out twice. Hold out, man.
That'd be my favorite.
Twice in a row.
Which, by, we got by that way, video. That is an unreal thing you did. Like, people, I don't know if anyone understands how hard it is to hold out twice in a row on a video like that.
You should see. I remember one of the two. One of them, you're under a tree.
Yeah, bro.
It was like 65 yards.
I remember that one, one of the first videos I ever saw of yours was the one. It was like 65 under some tree. You had like a little like chippy cut 8-iron. That was one of the most crazy shots I've seen.
It was insane. That moment was crazy. But to me, like what really like I like about it is, you know, I like the live tournament. Like people coming up to me like, oh, stay connected.
Yeah.
Connected golfer. It's like, it's cool to see how like the message is going around and it's impacting people and how they respond in such a positive way. Cause you know, they understand it's just, it's more than just golf. Full lifestyle.
So I know you were talking about before, but qualifying events that you're going to be playing anytime soon.
Yeah. So I signed up for every Monday qualifier for PGA Tour and Corn Ferry events, this year. And just going to go out there and shoot as low as I can and get through.
I got a question about that. So, like, how's that? So, you signed up for every Monday event, every Monday qualifier for like the rest of this year?
Yeah.
So, then are you just going to be traveling all over, you know, playing all these Mondays basically all over the country?
Basically, yeah.
That's a serious ride.
Kansas, Missouri, like these random places.
Yeah.
Illinois.
You could probably get some sick courses too.
South Carolina. Yeah. I'm going there for one day.
No. Just to play.
That's what I was saying.
Practice round and also the round. But it's, you go out there and you're out there to perform. And you got to like analyze your results and then, you know, kind of maximize your performance, like each time you pull out. You got to like build momentum too. With golf, it's a lot momentum based. You rack up a good tournament and then, you know, you stay consistent and, you know, eventually my boy just won 3 college tournaments in a row and he didn't win for like a little bit. He won and then he won 3 times.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You know,
what's the, I guess like you're playing all these qualifiers, right? But you're obviously playing a lot when you're here at home and, you know, trying to translate whatever it is that you're doing in your practice rounds. Where do you see, I guess, for lack of a better term, like that disconnect when you go to these tournaments and these qualifiers that maybe not translate? Is it just the putters off that day, or is it the mentalities off that day, or is it a mix of a little bit of everything?
Bro, to me, I've narrowed it down to rhythm. Like each one of our bodies has a biorhythm. So like we, you know, are are beating at a certain like pace per se. And as an athlete, you need to be able to understand like what your rhythm is that day. Like maybe you woke up and you're not feeling great. Like how do I maximize this? Maybe you wake up and you're feeling phenomenal. How do you maximize that and not get over ahead of yourself?
Right.
So like maintaining a consistent rhythm for me, like throughout every swing, you know, from the second I wake up to the second I sign my card, it's like I'm maintaining the same rhythm, you know, throughout the entire day. Everything that I do is a lot more intentional. Because you want to be just very hyper aware of everything, given the sport is so sophisticated, yet simple.
Yeah. It really that. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. When we were, I think it was in Puerto Rico, Adam, one of the guys that we interviewed with, and even a guy like Camilo Villegas, there seemed to be a consistent theme with them, is how they were all starting to see like mental coaches of like how to come into the game with a certain kind of mentality, right? And kind of thinking about the swing a little bit different. When you're standing over a shot, how should you kind of be kind of visualizing it? And it was something that I'm like, okay, I heard it from one guy, then I heard it from another guy, and then I heard it from another guy. And I'm like, you don't really hear a lot of the guys speaking about that, but I'm sure there's a ton of guys that have said, hey, I'm actually doing this behind closed doors and I'm practicing with these like mental coaches and it's actually evolved my game times, you know, whatever that
they
is.
Also,
Yeah. And it's something that I think, you know, 5-10 years ago, it was almost like taboo and it wasn't a thing.
Yeah. That's why, like, for me, like the way I want to help people along my journey in my community is definitely more towards the connective mentality.
Right.
And, you know, being a mentor for people on how to approach the game of golf.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I'm not a golf instructor. I don't want to spend time like hour by hour, like with you dialing in your swing. Like to me, I leave that to the professionals that actually do that well. I have like golf experience that I can share and help guide people on like, this is when you're on path and this is when you're not on path. So yeah. Connect.
That's fair. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, honestly, listen, when you make it to Augusta, you better invite us.
Yeah. I've heard that a couple of times.
Yeah. All right. Well, back to Augusta. You want to jump right, go to picks?
You
want
to?
I kind of want to hear
it's kind stuff. Of like our
I want to hear
expectations.
I want to hear expectations, some, you know, 2 to 3 guys you think you can win it and a couple maybe props that you like, whether it's hole in one, playoff, like whatever you got, whatever you think might happen this weekend. You know, whatever you want to go, Javi, we'll send it to you first.
Are we not talking about Tiger at all?
Oh,
like, Tiger's back in the field. Like,
let's go.
I don't know if we need to pick him to win.
Let's go Tiger real quick because that leads me into my segment. Tiger's winning this weekend. let's talk a little Tiger. That's a good point because we haven't seen him play since what was it? The Genesis, right? When he got sick.
Yeah.
And then you know, every report that I've heard this week is that he's hitting him like he's striping him.
It's different.
It's different. Zala played him. He's like, I've never seen. He was out driving me. Like he seems to be back. Yeah. At the end of the day, for him, it's his thing is if he can survive the actual course in terms of himself.
Can he walk 72 like, holes under tournament conditions?
Exactly. That's
everybody knows that Tiger has every shot.
Yeah.
7 times over. He's got more shots than anybody out there. He can. Everyone knows he's got the physical ability. These guys say, who was it that played with him today? Willie Z. He's like, I played with him. And he's like, man, the guy just, he's flushing everything. He's hitting these incredible shots.
Yeah.
He outdrove me a few times. He's pounding it. So you know what, if he's standing still over a golf ball, he can physically accomplish whatever he needs to accomplish with that golf ball.
Yeah.
It's everything else that we're talking about. Kind of goes back to what he was saying about,
it is,
you know, just how you approach the game and everything. Can he approach the game the way he needs, the way a professional golfer needs to approach it to win a major? And can he do that for 72 holes physically and last?
Listen, he said it today. He's got one more in him. Whether it's this one, I don't know.
He did say he's got one more.
If I was going to pick any of the four, this is the one he's got to get. Because, like, this is the one, I mean, this is the one he's
Did you bet him yet or not?
I already got $25 on him, right?
I'm not gonna lie, I bet on him too.
I feel like you gotta put some money in.
Nobody wants to be the guy on Sunday when he's actually
a Tiger.
Pulls off a miracle and
put that money on Tiger.
Who's all dollars wrong?
He's plus 15,000. Of course he got money on.
Okay, I have a question about Tiger. You saw that he gave up sex before the tournament. What are your thoughts on
that?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's an official thing. He came out and said.
Did he? I don't know if it was official.
No. It's an official thing. Report. Like Tiger has given up sex.
That's what's going to drive him.
The master. Hey, for you, Tiger. Finally.
About time.
Yeah. No. Literally. Hey, listen. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Like this guy.
I've tried it. It doesn't really do much. My girlfriend's laughing at me.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Listen, this will give us all the answers.
I mean, he definitely needs to stand.
Guys are going
to
stand. I will tell you this. If Tiger wins, everyone that's going to be trying to get their golf name up is going to go to their girlfriend. Yeah, I can't have sex.
They're going to be, instead of whatever the opposite of baby boom is, it's going to be the baby decline. They find out that Tiger won a Masters by giving up sex. Listen, I don't know if he can actually win it this week. I do have I think he can make the cut. I mean, he's obviously he loves Augusta, he plays so well here. I have him first round under 74.5 his score. I thought that was a steal. And I've got him I got him to win. But I don't know if he can win it. I hope he does, it'd be amazing, but If there is a tournament on Sunday,
the field is going to be scared.
Oh, 100%. Imagine being the one paired up with him on a Sunday.
Because that's the one thing where I think Tiger still has the edge over these guys, where Tiger has has that Tiger
the
energy,
aura.
Bro.
Yeah, he is the aura. It's the aura.
He is there, and he's too short back on Sunday. Whoever's in the lead is like, oh, my God.
You see, I'll never forget, and we were watching in 2019 when he won.
Yeah.
During all the madness on the back nine, which is one of the greatest Masters, ever, in my opinion.
100%.
I remember on that back nine, on 16, when he hit that one that trickled all the way down and almost went in. I remember on 17T, they pan over, and I forget it was Brooks, and I forgot who else was in that group with him. They all stopped. None of them were hitting. They're all like walking off the 17T to say, like, what's going on? What did he just do? They were competing, actively trying to beat him. And they're like, hang on, I want to go see the world was stopping.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. I'll never forget when that same tournament, when he won, I was playing Killian. And I was watching it on my phone, and it was like, I don't remember what. I don't think I had watched it for a few holes.
Killian, the Augusta of Miami.
Yeah. And there's just a little kid riding his bike. Tiger won the Masters. And I'm like, wow.
That was before. I mean, I obviously had been playing, but like I wasn't big into PGA like I am now. But I remember I watched that. I remember that Sunday I was watching it at my house, and I'm like, dude, there's no way this guy's gonna do this, and he did it. And I remember that whole week was like on SportsCenter was like ridiculous. I've never seen so much golf coverage in my life. Like
Max almost said it when they asked him the question, how can we get more golf, more people to watch the game of golf on TV. And he started listening, less commercials, this, that. And he goes, it's Tiger played more events.
That guy blew up golf, man.
I know. It's another thing I remember from 2019? Hob lowest amateur.
That's a good thing to remember.
Come on.
I'm ready to put my picks in.
Yeah,
let's do it. I want to give you my top three.
All right, we'll start with you.
I got DeChambeau winning the Masters.
All right.
If he doesn't win, I think Ludvig Åberg has a great chance.
I
like him a lot. I think he's a very good.
He's a great golfer. Like, there's no doubt about it. The talent's there.
Insane. And super assertive golfer. And
plus 25 locked it.
Number three, I'm like debating between Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka. I think Jon Rahm has it, but back to back is going to be
hard.
Tough.
So far,
I feel like he's not playing. I mean, anything can happen any given week, but I don't think his game is there where we've seen it.
Actually, I'm going to go with Joaquin Niemann.
Yeah, Waco.
Waco Neiman.
Waco.
Ludwig Aberg, Bryson DeChambeau, like the young guys.
I put money on Waco, actually.
I love that.
Yeah.
DeChambeau's good.
I like DeChambeau. I have money in DeChambeau.
I feel like I have good luck right now. It's like I caddied for Dean Burmester, the guy who won the lift.
Oh, yeah, no way.
It's the guy that just won. I caddied with him in the pro-am.
Really?
For the event. And then I caddied for Rom on the front nine. So Rom's team won.
Yeah.
And Dean won the individual.
Dude.
And I'm
loading up on Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson, I feel like the Masters has a really cool way of rewarding the right person.
Yeah, I'm on the inside.
And I feel like Bryson, what he's done for the game, and you know, with his YouTube channel, like he's being one of the only like innovative pro golfers out there that are really taking the leap of making an impact. And he's playing great golf.
Yeah, he is. You gotta get Bryce on an episode or show or something.
Great.
Yeah.
But you got any prop or like a you know, you think there's gonna be a hole in one? You think a live guy, like, cause there's a prop, like will the live guy win? You're saying, you called Bryce it earlier, live guy's gonna win. That could be your prop, by the way. So
it could be. I think there's gonna be a hole in one on a par four.
Yeah.
At the Masters.
All right, I like that.
Number three.
I like that.
Number three.
I like that. All right.
Yeah,
that would be that happened. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe Bryson.
Yeah. Bryson.
You might be the only one that gets there.
I like those picks. Aberg. The only thing with Aberg that makes me nervous is the fact that it would be just the wildest thing to me if I could see him his first time at Augusta. Sure, him winning because he's got everything. But first time at Augusta, first major ever. And then, I mean, if he does that, I wouldn't put it past him because this guy's, he's like a cyborg.
Yeah, he's so good.
But that would be a super fun story.
Yeah.
Like, just this guy just stand golf on its head. That'd be wild.
Yeah.
He's already done it.
but not in a major, though, that's my point. Like in a major, that's like, then you're like, man, this guy's big time.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's see. Three pick. I mean, my big pick, I think it's just going to be, I keep trying to go away from it. And he's been my horse for like years now, because I've just been crushing with the majors on him, but I got to go with Brooks this year again.
Yeah.
I bet him almost every major feels like for like
hard
4 years
to.
At this point.
Hard not to.
And it's just, so you prove otherwise.
He is a majors animal.
He's a must bet on a major.
Guy that we're talking about mindset wise.
Yeah.
He's a guy that just, there's a switch inside of him. He turns on, bro.
He turns on.
Yeah. It's almost Tiger-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's dialed.
I mean, he's not that guy consistently, but when it comes to the majors, bro, that guy is top five every single fucking major.
I just think
and he's there to kill what he's in contention.
Yeah. I mean, I heard his the press conference I watched earlier today.
Hell yeah.
Heard his press conference. I tell you guys, assuming everything I can hear.
He's revealing himself.
Yeah. So I was watching his press conference again, and just like hearing the way he was talking to, like that's kind of what sold me. I was like, man, I'm gonna go back on Brooks again this week. But here we are. But he was just saying, he's like, man, he was talking about how last year, like how like his mentality going to Sunday. He's like, man, I told myself I'll never let that happen again.
Yeah.
He's like, he won't tell anyone what it was.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, but he's like, I already fixed it. I'm never gonna let that happen again. This is the major that was in, everybody knows this is the one he wants the most. That he plays in. He wants a green jacket.
Yeah.
He's setting it in full swing.
What about Rory, man?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I'm a big, I'm a huge Rory hater.
I think they both are.
Actually. I'm not a Rory guy either.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I just think, like, dude,
Rory is
due.
100%. That's the only aspect why I would say Rory's got a chance.
He's not. He's going to
choke. If he played the game a lot, Rory is due for it.
He's going to choke.
He's more like cursed.
Good. Yeah, I feel like
that. No, 100%. But again, you
was it 2010? He had that 81 on Sunday or something like that. And ever since then, I'd be like, Augusta's just.
He's not like, it's been in his head right now. Guys have just kind of outplayed him later in rounds.
He just can't win. He can't win in Augusta.
But Rory's also, I don't know if you guys have noticed, like lately, he'll be on fire and then there will be a hole where he just has like a mental collapse. Like he looks like he doesn't know how to play golf. He'll shoot like a plus five on a hole.
The Rory special. I mean, you know,
it's, oh, yeah.
If he can clean that up, I mean, I think he's got a chance this week.
What were your picks?
Brooks is my big one. The other one I love is DJ. I don't know why.
That's a little more
of a gut pick. I just feel like he's been a super overlooked live guy. This is a guy that, you know, I mean, during COVID, he put on that stretch that he went on during the COVID year. I mean, we haven't seen golf like that. Was it six tournaments in a row or something? It was crazy.
Yeah.
Including the Masters, he dominated. Then, like, ever since he went to live, he's kind of been a forgotten guy. He didn't play great last year, but he came out and talked about it, said he was injured. I think he's going to come back. I think he's always a guy that just, he doesn't like to talk to the press, doesn't do anything. But that dude is going to, he's working on his game. You know, he's not one of, everyone's talking about, oh, he went to live. He doesn't care that much anymore.
Yeah.
His fire's gone. I don't think that's the case for him, man. I think everyone's sleeping on Dustin Johnson. His odds are out of control good.
Yeah, they are.
I think they're plus 4,000.
I'm sorry. There's some great value.
Scotty's pushed everybody up.
There's so many good value picks out there that it's like, damn, you see those guys sitting and you're like, dude, that guy's got a chance. And I'll take that money at that value. Like, guys that are sitting there at plus 5,000 that have shown that they – can contend in this and will be at the top of
DJ at plus 4,000 is I'm big on DJ this week too, but I love that pick. I love it.
And then my third pick for a winner,
top 10, whatever you want.
We also got to go wild card picks, like guys that like technically don't have a chance but have a chance.
Okay, we'll do that one after.
I mean, I got some. I'll give you. I don't know if I got some other bets that I already have. They're fun.
Take them. Tell us all.
I found one. It was Tiger to make four birdies in one round.
Like that. Tiger?
Any round of the four rounds. Any round he plays, he has to make four birdies.
Okay.
At plus money. That's an easy bet. Hammer that. I think that's a great bet. I love that. That's a great bet.
Four birdies. Let him have four bogeys with it.
I don't care. Make the four birdies. Let me win my bet. And then another guy that I sneakily like is, I don't know, I'm kind of growing on Willie Z this week.
Yeah?
I don't know if Willie Z's ready.
You like him?
I had faked him. I don't know if Willie Z's ready. I got Willie Z right there, baby.
I don't know.
I got $1 or $131.
You got him.
I just don't know if Willie Z is ready, man. Look how many bets.
I don't know.
Look, and here's my reason for. I was in between him and Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
Wyndham Clark's another first timer.
But
at least Willie Z's played it and played it well.
I like Willie Z because I think that.
I might double down on one of these picks up.
He's had really good finishes at all the majors.
Yeah.
At the Masters, first time here. Top 10.
I know. Yeah, crazy.
Listen, Willie, he's a machine at majors.
Yes.
And he's also one of those guys that I think he just kind of shows up and can turn around a little bit.
Yeah. He's been up and down, but he's come back pretty strong.
He was really good at Arnie. Yeah. He was really good at Genesis. He kind of had a bit of a fall off at Players, but this year, a lot of people did though. He's come off, he started pretty odd.
Yeah.
And as long as, honestly, with Willie Z, it's the putter. Like, if he can, putt even, semi close to the average, he can
be. But you know who else was in that same boat?
His putter is bro. But you know who else was in the same boat and had found it, and that's why he's such on a tear with Scott. Scotty was number one in every single category, but he was ranked 152 with the putter on strokes gained.
Yeah,
he was one in every category, 152. And I remember telling Dave, I'm like, bro, if Scotty could just get into top 50 with the putter, that guy will win every tournament, and that's where he's at right now. The putter finally caught fire. And the guy's not going to lose.
Kind of gone back down a little bit.
Every category. And then your putter is even a 5-footer in mid-tier. That's impossible to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So,
look. Andre, give us your picks.
He knows my guy.
Yeah.
My guy is the guy all year.
He got. Yeah, that's his guy.
That guy. My dude.
Yeah.
Watch out. He has been in contention pretty much.
He's been good. He's been great this season.
He's, I think, top 10 in FedEx Cup rankings right now. He is a fan favorite. People love him. He's playing good golf. He's creative on the course, too. Oh, he is fearless on the course. He will take any shot. And I think sometimes you need that in these majors, right? Because it's going to be a stacked field. And sometimes you got to take a risk, maybe not on a Sunday, but on a Saturday, a Friday, you know, and you're in contention. And he hits those shots. So I like him. He's more of a mid value pick, but I
think what's he at?
He's his odds are
plus 4,000.
Plus 4,000. He's right there in the DJ range.
He's good. Yeah.
So
yeah, but imagine picking Sahith over DJ. That's my point.
Of course I'm picking Sahith over DJ.
No way. No way.
Sahith's a man, bro.
Sahith's his guy, bro.
Sahith's my guy.
From the start of this podcast, like the first, I think our first episode.
Bro, before, like, my guys last year.
Like, yeah, no, I'm saying like pod, publicly. Yeah, yeah. Like right, the first one.
What's my team name in the office, boy, every week?
It's probably something Sahith, really. Like, I don't know. There's too many people to check.
Gala.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is the guy. That is you. The Gala. Yeah, that is you.
That's like guy. So, putting money on the Gala. He's always like a dark horse, and yet he's top five, top 10 every week. So, I'm going to keep riding him. A guy that I actually really like this week is Jason Day.
Interesting. Oh,
really?
What do you think of the Malbon?
Love the Malbon thing.
I love Malbon.
Love the more fabric. I'm all here for it. Super cool. I think their brand's awesome. I like Jason Day a lot too, as just overall golfer. But
the Aussie,
he finished last year really strong, and he's taking a lot of that momentum into this year. He's been in contention in a bunch of tournaments. He hasn't won yet this year. But again, if you're kind of just in the mix, I think week over week, I think these are the tournaments where you really can kind of elevate your game and bring it out. And he's been a guy that has been in contention. So I like him a lot. I think he will be around and in contention on Sunday. And then I have a dark horse. I like Serge this week also, like just kind of
I like down
there. I like those odds. Just plus 10,
that's actually my dark horse.
He plays well. That was gonna be
my dark horse, actually.
I like Serge, but the guy that is like my dark horse is Erik van Rooyen.
Yeah, dude, he's
wow.
He's been playing problem with.
Yeah.
He's been
watch out! He's been playing well.
Stats. I was gonna say, is it because of stats?
But he's also been playing really well.
Really well. Like he's really crushed well, me he's on solid some player. On some matchup bets. Like he's crushed me.
Really South
well.
Africans.
Yeah, yeah, he's good, bro. Yeah.
He's kind of ramping it up right now. He started off the year kind of like scrambling, but he played Puerto Rico Open when we went out there. He was in contention that weekend.
That's in the cognizant, really too.
Is in the cognizant. So he's been playing, hanging with these guys. So I like him as a dark horse. I mean, his odds are really like down there, but
I like it. I like that. All right. All right. So for me, I mean, a few of my picks, you know, I've already been said. I love DJ specifically. I'm all in on DJ this week. I also love Bryson. I've got some Bryson love in there as well. But my number one guy, as you know, as you probably can expect, I back my guys. Till the end, it's Victor Hovland. Not only, I mean, listen, he hasn't been up to his standard this year. We already spoke about that, but everyone knows what level he can get to. He's played, he honestly could have won this last year. Mm-hmm. I think if he's taken 2-3 weeks off since the Players, like if he, you know, even found like a little bit more of his groove, like I think that this could be the week that he finally goes back to old Hov, and like he can, like if he goes back to even he's one of the best players on tour. Like,
he's a great guy, too.
Great guy, best guy in the world, my GOAT. He's winning this weekend.
Best in the world?
Did I stutter?
I love how much you guys know about golf, too. It's great. Like,
I fucking love it.
I love it. I'm so obsessed with it.
I wish I was a lot better at it.
How's the golf game treating you?
You know what's funny? I'll tell you a funny story. I was actually with this guy. I'll tell you, I'm a lot better than when I was in the story, but my golf game was, I played with him in Naples, and it's improved a ton. And at this time, this is like kind of like, it was like 20, maybe late 2020, 21, when I had just, it's actually like probably late 20. And I had played like growing up, but like I really got into it during COVID, like a lot of people. And so I'm playing with this guy in Naples, and I'm playing the best round of my life. And I PR'd at a 104, and I'm going crazy. Like, I'm like chugging beers. I'm like, yeah, 104. What'd you shoot? He goes, 64. I'm like,
it was 68, not 64. I wish it was 64.
All right, 68 still, both connected in their own ways.
Yeah, I was so pumped. But my golf game's heavily improved from that. I had some lessons over a year ago, and then I have a pretty unorthodox swing, but my driver's killing it right now. And I've always been a great putter. My short game still kind of worked, but I'm like a now I've gone to that point where I'm a mid 90 shooter. Still hoping to break 90. My PR is a 90, 91. But that's kind of my range.
Yeah. I love that, man.
Yeah.
That's where it's fun, honestly.
I mean, listen, I can go out there tomorrow.
It's fun when
I'll shoot
in the 70s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But golf is like when you're shooting, like for guys like us, obviously.
Yeah.
When you're shooting in the 80s, like that's
I'm like, okay, I'm going out there. I'm putting shit swings together.
Shooting the 80s.
Okay. Yeah, man. Because at the end of the day,
couple birds on the card, you know, maybe an eagle look at one point.
Golf. I had a couple eagles today, first time.
Development.
No, for sure. I love it.
It's like literally like a like
therapy.
Yeah.
You go out there.
It is therapy. That's the way I look at it.
You approach it from that lens.
Yeah.
You know, try to improve as a person, like day in and day out, like through golf. Like that's the journey that I'm on.
Yeah.
Man, you know, when you get to the point where your attention to detail is so high, you know, you got to really stay connected to the process.
I love it. No, yeah, I love it. No matter what, like going out there with like, you know, whether it's just me and Andre or like obviously I want to play well and it's my goal too. But just like being out there is just like, for me, it's just so much fun. Like no matter what, like obviously I want to play well, but even if I'm not playing well, like sure, I'll be mad maybe a hole or so and I'll be like, I'm still having a blast though. Like this is what I love to do. I love it so much.
So I'll tell you this. Like, this is how much I love golf. My girlfriend knows I have an obsession with it because anytime we go on vacation, the first thing I ask if the hotel has a putting green so I can go putt at that point.
Bro, where my head's at. You gotta get your own like roller mat
putting. I have one. Yeah. I don't have hours. But there's nothing like, I don't know, being outside, sunny, you barefoot on a putting green. I'm like, this is paradise.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you. Like, how do you enjoy golf?
So there's a lot of aspects that I enjoy about the game. I think more on the personal development side, it forces you to kind of put in the work and put in the time and get in the right space to, you know, improve your game. So I like it on the aspect that it does make you better, right? You're putting in effort, you're putting in energy into something that you're passionate about. And I think that, you know, reaps a benefit in itself on the personal development side. But there's also the kind of just the appreciation of the game and kind of connecting how well you see some of these guys play, even guys like yourselves, and just being around you guys and seeing that, it almost kind of pushes you to another level. It'll be like that competitiveness in me. It was like, if he could do it, I can do it kind of thing, right? Yeah. Because that's just the way I'm wired. I'm like, I know I can do it. I just got to put in the time and the effort. So there's that, right? Then there's just the component of like being able to travel and visit all these beautiful courses that exist out there, right? Public, private, whatever that.
Like that each course is different too.
There's something about being on a course and just like the disconnect the best, right? Like you're connected, but you're disconnected, right? You're connected to the course, but you're disconnected from everything else going on, right? Like I don't look at my phone. Like sometimes it's like, damn, I didn't even grab a picture, you know? But that's like how immersed I am when I'm out there. It's because the only thing on my mind is golf when I'm out there. And that to me is like the best component about it.
I mean, it's like one thing for me, like I have a lot of my, it's now all my sons are getting into golf. Like home to like only the last like 10 years of my life. Like finally, like, now everybody wants to play golf.
Yeah.
I've been telling you guys for years to play. Like, let's go play. Now everybody wants to play.
The kids that bullied me in school.
Yeah, like, play golf. Play golf. And now exactly. The kids have been following me in golf. And now like, hey, let's go play golf.
Yeah. They're like, nah.
But like one thing I know that like when I go play golf, the only thing I care about, like when I play with other people is that everybody just wants to, as long as everybody loves golf and is into it, like, I got no problem. It happens all the time where I have friends that are like, oh, I'm like, hey, let's go play. They're like, no, man, I don't want to go play because you shoot the 70s. I'm no good. I'm like, man, I don't care. I just want to play with people. Like, if you were like, oh, you guys are talking.
I love playing with better people, honestly.
Love I love the game. People and you just want to go out there and you have a good time. You're just enjoying it. You know, like, you have a true love for the game. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care what you shoot. Like, as long as, you know, you're out there, you're enjoying, you're playing, you're trying to get better, that whole thing, like,
yeah,
that's what it's all about for me. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I actually I love playing with people better than me because, like he said, like you feel like you play better when you're playing. Like I don't know, like sometimes like you're just kind of stepping your game. You're playing to your competition to a lesser extent, but like still, like you know, you're playing.
You're exactly.
I don't know. I love it. I love playing. I mean, we've played a good amount. I mean, it's just a blast, man. I love this. This is the best sport. The best weekend for the sport. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean,
that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah. Today. That wraps that up. Before we go, if you guys want to give any last plugs where they can find you before we head out of here, Leo?
Yeah. Just find yourself first.
Stay connected look at to that.
The process and what, like, your heart and like what you believe in. Go for your dreams. And if you want any assistance, want any help, just
check out my website at The Connected Golfer on my Instagram, you know, some in the handle www.theconnectedgolfer.com. And, you know, I'm a golf mentor, so I can definitely help you throughout your journey in golf to, you know, make sure you're on a path and constantly progressing. And I'm also going to be going on that path myself as a professional golfer and, you know, doing it.
Love it, man.
Hell yeah.
We're following you. We root for you.
Yeah,
thanks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, sure. Like on those Mondays. That's a
hell
grind,
yeah,
man.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I was. I got a lot of respect for somebody that's, for Puerto that, Rico that's that time. Doing that.
Thank
phenomenal,
you,
man.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Rooting for you. Can't wait to see what where this journey takes you.
Hopefully to the Masters.
Yeah.
God, hopefully. Yeah, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Right? I'm putting in 250 on.
What can I find those futures on? Yeah. And for me, First Step Bets, we got a podcast that comes out every Thursday. You know, we'll have another episode coming out this week on Thursday, too. We'll be talking a lot, basically exclusively Masters, talking about picks, top to bottom, live bets that you can make, green pairings.
Love
you know,
that.
All that kind of stuff, winners, prop bets, outrights, basically anything there is to talk about Masters and betting-wise, we'll cover it all now.
Nice.
On Thursday, so next.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, comment, everything. Please follow us on all our pages. And then hope to see you this weekend at the Tank this Saturday, noon, Masters Watch Party here, the beautiful Tank Brewery. And yeah, happy Masters watching.
Sure. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.